sages, anybody that's got today's attorney. Om agarati manandasya jana jana salakaya taksu samitam janitasmai sri gurve namaha sri chaitanya manubhistam stapitam dina bhutale sayam upakitamayam dadati sapandantika vanja kaupaturubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam papanebho vaishnamebho namo namaha. Reading from the beginning of the 26th chapter in the third canto, at the end of the 25th chapter, Kapila Muni instructed Devahuti about the process of breaking one's attachment to the material world by increasing one's attachment to the spiritual world. The medium for doing that is by attachment to holy personalities who are fully detached from the material world and hearing from them. So after describing how the essence of the process of Krishna consciousness is to somehow or another focus one's mind upon Krishna. Focusing one's mind on Krishna means focusing one's mind on transcendence. And because Krishna is no different from Krishna Katha, or topics about him, so one actually associates with Krishna when one hears from holy personalities. So after describing this, Kapila Dev begins to describe chapter 26, which are the fundamental principles of material existence. He's going to describe the material creation in this chapter, in the process of creation. And by describing the material creation, he's going to show how the soul is not material, how the soul has nothing to do with the material world, but the soul is illusioned by the material energy, Maya, Krishna's Maya Shakti, into thinking himself part of the material world, and therefore the soul has to suffer all the as if he was material. The material world, the prime aspect of the material world, that it is always changing, and the soul on the other hand is eternal. So it is quite an artificial position for the eternal soul to be in the material world. And it is an unnecessary condition for him to identify with this changing material world. Completely unnecessary. And because of his identification with the changing material world, he experiences the changes of his body as if he were changing. This is due to the Maya Shakti of the Lord. But actually, again, the soul has nothing to do with the material energy. Perhaps you could open a window. So Kapila Muni is going to explain the fundamental principles of material nature, those elements, the foundational principles of the material nature. So in the first verse, Ata te sampravakshami tatvanam lakshanam pritak yad viditva vamuchata purusha prakritar guna. So, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, because Kapila Muni is the Lord. Ata te sampravakshami. So Kapila Muni says, I shall describe to you tatva lakshanam pritak. Pritak means, one by one, I'm going to describe to you the tatva, or the truth, or the categories, the aspects of the absolute truth, and the lakshanam. Lakshanam means the symptoms. So one after another, I'm going to describe the different aspects or categories of the absolute truth. Now what will happen if one understands this, because this is technical matter. It is not stories or pastimes like we will hear in the 10th canto or in so many of the other cantos, but this is quite technical. How the living entity is illusioned in the material nature, and how and exactly what the material nature is composed of. So if one applies one's consciousness to this and learns it carefully, what is the result? Yad viditva vamuchyate purusha prakritarganai. See, yad viditva means by knowing this, vamuchyate. Vamuchyate means one will be released. Who will be released? Purusha, any person who knows this will be released from prakriti gunai, the material modes of material of nature. The modes of material nature are compared to shackles. So one becomes liberated from material nature by knowing this. Yad viditva vimuchyate. So Prabhupada explains in the purport. Because one, just by knowing it, is theoretical. So if we know something, is that sufficient? Just like if one knows how to make money, but actually never makes any money, will he be wealthy by his knowledge? Certainly not. So is knowing sufficient? Because Krishna says, yad viditva vamuchyate, just knowing will release you. But this type of knowing is not just theoretical knowledge. Not theoretical knowledge. So Prabhupada will explain this in the purport and a little subtly. Now he explains, now the analytical study of devotional service will be explained by the Lord. So this, before he's explained, Kapila Muni has explained some the essential principles of getting free from material life. Now he's going to explain it very methodically, the process, and very analytically. And actually this is, again, bhakti and mixed with astanga yoga, through which is, and more or less, there is much jnana in this. There is very much, a lot of knowledge in this for those who are caught in the material world. They have to learn these things. But ultimately, what Krishna is teaching is devotional service. What Kapila Muni is teaching is devotional service. So, Prabhupada explains in his purport. Now the analytical study of devotional service will be explained by the Lord, who says by such an analytical study, one becomes freed from the modes of material nature. The same assertion is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Tatomam Tatvato Gyatva. By understanding the Lord according to various categories, one can become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. This is also explained here. By understanding the science of devotional service in Sankhya philosophy, one can become free from the modes of material nature. The eternal self, after becoming freed from the spell of material nature, becomes eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. So there is one thing, just like if someone's in prison, and if one is good in prison, one knows the difference, actually learns the difference between right and wrong, then he will be released. So one can say, again, the same question, is just learning sufficiently? Is that sufficient to get one released? If you know the difference between right and wrong but still act wrongly, will you be released? Certainly not. So, still, say if one even learns what's right and wrong and then he acts properly, and then he's released. So that is the situation with this, that one is released. And then when one is released, then one can, from prison, one can make something of his life. One can do something positive and wonderful with his life. So similarly, when one is released from the chains, the shackles of the material world, one can go to Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. And a prerequisite of going, a prerequisite of doing something wonderful with your life is getting out of prison. Very similar, very parallel. So the eternal self, after becoming free from the spell of material nature, becomes eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. As long as one has even a slight desire to enjoy or lord it over material nature, there is no chance of his being freed from the influence of nature's material modes. Therefore, one has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead analytically, as explained in the Sankhya system of philosophy by Lord Kapila Dev. Why will one not be released if one still has the desire to enjoy? Because this is specifically the contamination, that we want to enjoy the material world, and as long as we want to enjoy the material world, naturally we have to stay in the material world to enjoy it. So what keeps us in the material world is that very stubborn desire, and as soon as we give up that desire, we can become free. But as long as one does have that desire, one, Krishna so kindly, yaya tamam prapadyante, he allows us to stay in the material world to fulfill that desire. So we're going to hear an analytical study of exactly what the material nature is and how it works, how it binds the living entity, and we will know very clearly that we actually have nothing to do with the material energy, and therefore the desires to enjoy the material energy do not bring us happiness at all, because they're foreign to us, they're alien to us. Because we are spirit, we are eternal, we are composed of a different substance than the material energy, completely different. It does not mix, just like water and oil do not mix. So he continues giving this introduction, saying that what he's going to do. Knowledge is the ultimate perfection of self-realization, Kapila Muni says. I shall explain that knowledge unto you by which the knots of attachment to the material world are cut, because the attachment is what binds us. The attachment to enjoying the material pleasures which exist within us are the bars of the prison. So this knowledge will cut, if we assimilate it deeply and act upon it, it will cut our attachment, which will disintegrate the bars, and we will automatically be free. And we heard this earlier, this essential point was made by Kapila Dev in the previous chapter in the Glories of Devotional Service. He said, the art of doing this is to break one's attachment to matter and transfer that attachment to Krishna through the medium of the sadhus, and hearing Krishna Katha from them. That type of attachment we should have. So why should we break this material attachment? Because if we are of the material world, then it would be natural for us to enjoy the material world. If we were meant to be enjoyers, then it would be very good. Prabhupada explains in the purport. Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami the real constitutional position of the individual. He said directly that each and every individual soul is eternally a servitor of Krishna. This is who we are. We are Krishnas. Jivera Sarupoi Krishner Nityadas. Every individual soul is eternally a servitor. When one is fixed in the understanding that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, and that is his eternal position, and that his eternal position is to serve in association with the Supreme Lord, He becomes self-realized. That is self-realization. To be fixed in that understanding that I am Krishna's. This is who I am, my natural position. Is that I'm Krishna's servant. When one actually, when one's realization of that is deepened, so one unflinchingly is fixed in that, regardless of the storms of the material world, they may come and they may go. They must come and they must go. By the very nature of the material world, according to our karma, so many things will happen, so much enjoyment will prance and dance in front of us, and so much misery will roll over us. And if we remain, despite this, fixed in that I'm Krishna's servant, in that consciousness, then one is self-realized, and practically speaking, one is liberated, free from the material energy. When one can cut the knot of attachment to the material world, his understanding is called knowledge. So that knowledge really means when one understands what to do and then one does it. One understands that he's not of the material world. One understands that he's of Krishna. And therefore he cuts the attachment to the material world and then places himself. Ayi nanda tunuja kinkaram pratitam mam vishame babam buddha kripaya tava parapankaja stita duli sabrisham vichintaya. Places himself as just like a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Krishna as a servant. Then that is actual knowledge. And that is self-realization, that is liberation, that is our constitutional position. So now he's going to begin to explain. First, the first prime principle, and in the third canto, this creation has been explained so many times, this is possibly the third or the fourth time that the creation is explained. And each time, there's somewhat of a different emphasis, but each time it's explained, the same sequence is described, and that sequence always begins with the sarva karana karanam, or the cause of all causes. And that is Krishna, it begins. So here in this verse, that Krishna is described, and his position. Anadiratma purusha nirguna prakriti para pratyagdham svayam jyoti vishvamena samanvitam. So anadi, without beginning. Atma, the supreme soul, purusha. So he's a person. That supreme soul, Atma Purusha, he's a person. Purusha means person. And Anadi, without any beginning. Adi means beginning. Anadi, no beginning. So Anadi, Atma Purusha, Nirguna, he has no material qualities. There's two ways to describe the Lord, Nirguna and Saguna. So when he's described as nirguna, it means that he has no material qualities. And saguna means either his qualities in relationship to the material world, which we will hear, as such as the creator, that's a quality, a characteristic, or his qualities in relationship to the spiritual world. He's Govinda, the herder of the transcendental cows. So nirguna prakriti para. Prakriti para means he's beyond the material nature, prakriti. So there's different words that will be used in this chapter for material nature. Prakriti is one. Avyakta, this is the, and pradhan, these three especially, the material nature in its primal feature is going to be described using these three terms. So nirguna prakriti pra, he is beyond all nature. Nothing to do with material nature, although he deals with the material nature indirectly as the creator, etc. So pratyagdhama, he's perceivable everywhere, if we have the eyes to see him. Swayam jyoti means self-effulgent. and Vishramyena Samanvitam, by whom the entire universe is maintained. So these are called secondary characteristics of the Lord, because they are in relationship with the material energy. And Krishna also has primary characteristics, his relationship with the spiritual energy, and those are more important. So here, for the purpose of describing the material creation, the ultimate maintainer, Vishvamyena Samanvita, he who maintains the entire thing, he creates it, maintains it, and ultimately destroys it. This is that supreme person that's being described here. We'll read a little of the purport. The Lord is described as the soul or spirit. This is an interesting analysis. Spirit is the Atma, the supreme soul, or the soul of the universe. Vishvatma, his name is, the soul of the universe. The Lord is described as the soul or spirit. What is the definition of spirit? Spirit is perceivable everywhere. Brahman means great. His greatness is perceived everywhere. And what is that greatness? Consciousness. We have personal experience of consciousness, for it is spread all over the body. In every hair follicle of our body, we can feel consciousness. This is individual consciousness. Similarly, there is super consciousness. The example can be given of a small light and the sunlight. The sunlight is perceived everywhere, even within the room or in the sky, but the small light is experienced within a specific limit. Similarly, our consciousness is perceived within the limit of our particular body. But the super consciousness, or the existence of God, is perceived everywhere. He is present everywhere by his energy. And Prabhupada explains later. As this material body has a beginning, the universal body does also. And as our material body has begun on the basis of our soul, the entire gigantic universal body has begun on the basis of the supreme soul. The Vedanta Sutra says, janmadyasya yataha. This entire material exhibition, its creation, its growth, its maintenance, and its dissolution, is an emanation from the Supreme Person. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says, I am the beginning, the source of birth of everything. Aham bijabhadavya. So, just as it is the soul that gives life to the body. And if you've ever seen some little, it's almost most apparent, no, it's apparent everywhere actually. When you see a small bug dying, he's kicking around and then suddenly he dies. And then even whether it's a bug or a human being or a tiger that dies or any creature, the death means the soul leaves. And immediately, so easily, the change is apparent. There's no more life there. When a bug dies, it immediately starts decomposing. While before, it was vital. It was crawling here and crawling there and grabbing some sugar or flying around. It was vital. It had energy. It had life. But then, when the soul goes, a little wind comes and will blow it away. Immediately it starts decomposing. A human body, when the soul leaves, immediately it starts turning yellow. It starts looking completely different within seconds, really, and perceivably within minutes, very perceivably within hours. It immediately starts what? Decomposing back into the material elements that it was originally composed of. It is the soul that gives life, that maintains it, that puts it to, that keeps it moving. And back into the material elements. So similarly, this universe has life. As the bodies, so many varieties of bodies have life and they're being maintained by the soul. Similarly, this universe, it's the planets are rotating, the storms are coming and going, the seasons change, the sun rises and sets. Life goes on. The universe expands possibly or whatever it does. This is because the Mishvatma, the Paramatma, the Super Soul is in within every universe, giving it life. So here is the source of all. So in the other descriptions of the creation, more details have been given about certain parts of how the Lord creates it from His energy. So as His pastime, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the greatest of the great, accepted the subtle material energy which is invested with the three material modes of nature and which is related to Vishnu. So the Lord empowers the material energy, and again this has three names that will be used here. There's avyakta, because at this particular stage there's an evolution of the material creation. It evolves from something from subtle to gross. So the subtlest form of the material nature, where everything is undifferentiated, and this may be where the Buddhists go, because this is their desire. Some of them can go here, or some types of impersonalists, they will go to this undifferentiatedness in the material world, as opposed to going to the Brahman even. They can go to this, it is called Pradhan. Pradhan means chief or primal or first. It is also called avyakta because there is no differentiation manifest at this time. And it is also called prakriti because prakriti or the material nature all ultimately comes from this. So Prabhupada explains in the purport. We'll read some of it. In this verse, the word gunamayim, sa'esha prakritim shukshman, shukshman means subtle, daivim gunamayim vibhu. In this verse, the word gunamayim is very significant. Daivam means the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or divine. It is divine because it is coming from Krishna. And gunamayim means invested with the three modes of material nature. When the material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, this gunamayim energy acts as a manifestation of the energies of the three modes. It acts as a covering. So we're going to hear first how about the Lord and the Maya Shakti, or the illusory energy of the Lord, and how the living entities become entangled, how they become illusioned by this gunamayi, this material energy. So the first thing is that it comes from Krishna. The energy emanated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it manifests in two ways. As an emanation from the Supreme Lord, so that's one way of looking at it. It's coming from Krishna. And as a covering of the Lord's face. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that because the whole world is illusioned by the three modes of material nature, the common conditioned souls, being covered by such energy, cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example of a cloud is very nicely given. So the cloud, what does it cover? Does the cloud cover the sun, or does it cover our eyes? When one goes up in an aeroplane a few miles, one can see clearly that the sun is so powerful, and it is distant, and it is always uncovered, and the clouds just cover a small portion of the earth, basically our eyes. So similarly, Maya never can cover the Lord, but Maya covers our eyes, and oh boy, does she cover our eyes. Divided into varieties by her threefold modes, material nature creates the forms of the living entities. So there's actually two aspects of material of this Maya. One is called Upadan Karan, and the other is something else, maybe Naimittik Karan. The Upadan Karan are the ingredients, or the actual physical material elements, both subtle and gross. The material elements, the ingredients, Upadan Karan. And then also the forces of material nature, which are divided into two, that which covers our eyes and then gives us false knowledge. When our eyes are covered, we can't see what really is there. And then we basically imagine a different reality. And this is truly what's going on. Everyone, otherwise, how could it happen that all over the world, there's wars going on, right? There's in Kosovo, the Serbs are fighting the Albanian Kosovonian separatists, and each one is quite determined that they are correct. They're completely convinced that their vision of reality is correct, and the NATO bombers are bombing bridges and bombing this, and they're completely convinced that what they're doing is correct. And then in the Palestinians and the Israelis, and each one of them, just everyone basically lives in their own imagined world, completely convinced. Except in Kali Yuga, no one's completely convinced about anything. Everyone has doubts even about their own illusions. This is Kali Yuga. Everyone is somewhat crazy, neurotically crazy. Can become convinced for about 5 minutes about something before, but maybe they're actually right. Maybe this is Kali Yuga. So this is what Maya does, and then it gives us, so it covers our eyes like the sun covers us from seeing the sun, and then gives us an illusory knowledge and so many toys to play with and think that we're really enjoying. So they're illusioned. So this is a nice description. Divided into varieties by her threefold modes. So the gradually that undifferentiated pradana evolves into mahatattva, called mahatattva technical. Then material nature starts developing. In previous parts of the third canto, we've heard about how the false ego combines with the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, and different things are produced, going from, again, from subtle to gross. So, divided into varieties by her threefold modes, material nature creates the forms of the living entity. So, picture this. We're souls, living entities. And then, these forms, the bodies, so many forms, but especially bodies, are created by the illusory energy. And the living entities, seeing this, seeing the forms, are illusioned by the knowledge-covering feature of the illusory energy. And in illusion, they identify with it. They forget who they are. And this happens to us all the time. People go, you know, what is the main type? There's a term for the main type of shopping. Why people spend most of their money. You go, you say you want to buy something, so you go to some store. But generally speaking, people don't buy just what's on their list. And what's that other type of buying called shopping? They call it impulse buying. You get... So you're keeping your identity. You walk into a shop and then you forget who you are. You get caught by something, and you think that this is another thing. You think it's going to make you happy. And sometimes people spend thousands of dollars like that, and then they come back and say, "I don't know why I did that." Mm-hmm. You get completely captivated by an illusory thought that this is going to make me happy. You know this one very well, don't you? And it begins by what? Dhyayeto visraya poksat. Just look at this. Just imagine what this is going to look like in your living room. Nicely framed. Or something. Just imagine. And there's the picture, the advertisement. Just imagine how much fun this is going to be. And then you just completely identify with it. You forget who you are. That has nothing to do with you. Can't make you happy. And then, I don't know how this happened. Or movies. You go to the movie. People go to movies. And they identify with some character. And they experience all the happiness or the stress of that character. Their heart starts beating. They're racing around. And the cars and going over. And everyone in the theater is in complete anxiety. By looking at something, they identify with it and they forget who they are. So the same type of illusion happens. So a movie, we're already in illusion. So when you watch movies and television and these things, you're in an illusion in an illusion. So how deep is it? That's ignorance. So illusion by the knowledge covering feature of the Lord that we forget who we are. Prabhupada explains. It is stated in the previous verse that the material energy was accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's accepted it, he empowers it to do something. Now why would Krishna do this to us? Give us such a hard time. And make it so impenetrable too. So it's said in the previous verse that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the material energy is accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order that he might exhibit pastimes. The word lila is used in the text 4. Adhyapadyata lilaya. He accepts the material energy as his pastime. So he might exhibit, in order that he might exhibit pastimes for the living entities who wanted to enjoy and lord it over the material energy. This world was created through the material energy of the Lord for the so-called enjoyment of such living entities. Why this material world was created for the sufferings of the conditioned souls is a very intricate question. There is a hint in the previous verse in the word lilaya, which means for the pastimes of the Lord. The Lord wants to rectify the enjoying temperament of the conditioned souls. It's actually, in one sense, quite simple to understand, because jivara srupoi Krishna niti das, we are servants of Krishna. But since we don't want that, and since we are servants of Krishna, that's our nature, to act differently, we need to be in illusion. Because reality means we are servants of Krishna. We don't want that, so Krishna so kindly provides us an illusion. Since we all want to be, our illusion is that we are the center. So since I want to be the center, and you want to be the center, and you want to be the center, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and every living entity wants to be the center of existence, therefore we need our own illusory world, basically. Each one of us live in a bubble of illusion, thinking that we're the center. And then why doesn't this one cooperate with me? And why? And we're getting angry at everyone else for not being fully cooperated with that. And they're getting completely angry at us because we're not cooperating with them, because in their illusion, they're the center. In my illusion, I'm the center. So Krishna has created this wonderful, wonderful fantasy land of the material world. Not directly, he doesn't do this directly, but he empowers the Maya Shakti to work in this wonderful way. The Lord wants to, and the purpose is to rectify the enjoying temperament of the conditioned souls. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is the enjoyer but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This material energy is created, therefore, for anyone who pretends to enjoy. An example can be cited here that there is no necessity for the government's creation of a separate police department. But because it is a fact that some of the citizens will not accept the state law, a department to deal with criminals is necessary. There is no necessity, but at the same time, there is a necessity. It is necessary. Similarly, there was no necessity to create the material world for the sufferings of the conditioned souls. But at the same time, there are certain living entities known as Nityabhadha who are eternally conditioned. We say that we have been conditioned from time immemorial because no one can trace out when the living entity, the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, became rebellious against the supremacy of the Lord. It is a fact that there are two classes of men, those who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Lord and those who are atheists or agnostics, who do not accept the existence of God and who want to create their own laws. They want to establish that everyone can create his own law or his own religious path without tracing out the beginning of the existence of these two classes. We can take it for granted that some of the living entities revolted against the laws of the Lord. Such entities are called conditioned souls, for they are conditioned by the three modes of material nature. So in forgetfulness, his knowledge covered, the living entity accepts, because of his forgetfulness, the transcendental living entity accepts the influence of material energy as his field of activities. Even though we don't belong here, we accept it as where I'm going to try my best to enjoy. And thus actuated, he's actuated by the, empowered practically by the illusory energy, he wrongly applies the activities to himself. Forgetting, what is he forgetting? Krishna bhule se jeev, forgetting Krishna. Even though we're dependent on Krishna every moment, even for our illusion we are dependent on Krishna. For the breath we breathe, for the air we breathe, for the strength we have, for the food we eat, for our intelligence, for our abilities, for our cunning, for everything we're dependent on Krishna. For the sun, the rain, we're dependent on Krishna. And yet, in illusion, we forget. Our knowledge of our relationship with Krishna is covered. And this we don't want to admit. Okay. Prabhupada speaks some about this verse. Let's see if we can get it working.
You did something weird.
The tape did, or we did? Did we blame it on the tape? Okay. Let's see if it works. If not,
we'll... Flying.
So the verses continue. Tarasya samsriti bandha. So we're up to the point where the living entity, he's in illusion. So material consciousness, which is basis, what is the root of it? Turning the back on Krishna and wanting ourselves to be the center, the enjoyer. Material consciousness is the cause of one's conditioned life, conditional life. In which conditions, this is why we use the term, it's a Hare Krishna jargon, conditioned living entities. What does it mean? Conditions are enforced upon the living entity by material nature. That's what we mean when we say we're conditioned living entities. We are being forced to do so many things against our will. Or whether it is with our will or against our will, they're forced upon us. Conditions are forced upon us. We are completely dependent on these externally forced conditions, and they're forced by the material energy and ultimately forced by Krishna. Although the spirit soul does not do anything and is transcendental to such activities, he is thus affected by conditioned life. So because of his attachment to being the enjoyer, He's controlled, not enjoyed, but controlled by the material nature. This is interesting from a purport to text 7. Krishna therefore says in Bhagavad Gita that Maya, and we should know this clearly, that this Maya or illusion is his Krishna material's energy, and it is so forceful that it is insurmountable. There's nothing we can do about it, practically speaking. We're caught so tightly by Maya. But there is a way out. But if a living entity simply understands that his constitutional position is to serve Krishna, and he tries to act on this principle, then, however conditioned he may be, the influence of Maya immediately vanishes. This is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter. Krishna takes charge of anyone who surrenders to him in helplessness. And thus the influence of Maya or conditional life is removed. The spirit soul is actually Satchidananda, eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. But under the clutches of Maya, however, he suffers from continued birth, death, disease, and old age. One has to be serious to cure this condition of material existence and transfer himself to Krishna consciousness. For thus his long suffering may be mitigated without difficulty. In summary, the suffering of the conditioned soul is due to his attachment to material nature. This attachment should be transferred from matter to Krishna. So he's an illusion, and these things have been created. His bodies have been created. His body's senses and the senses presiding deities, the demigods. The cause is the material nature. This is understood by learned men. The feelings of happiness and distress of the soul, who is transcendental by nature, are caused by the spirit soul himself. Due to his bad choice of wanting to be the lord of everything, this bad choice is the cause of his distress and material happiness. And when one takes material happiness, he also has to take material distress. So this is the basic description of the relationship between the living entity and the material nature. And now Devahuti asks about the basic relationship between the Lord and the material nature. And we'll hear about that tomorrow. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments? You get it working?
Very hard.
That's okay.
To find out some chemical or some physical thing. But there are many other working. But unless Krishna from within gives him proper intelligence, he cannot invent the particular thing. Krishna gives him intelligence. Bhakta Smriti Jnana Mahuvam. Two scientists working. One has become successful and one is not successful. Why? Both are working very hard. The one is favored by Krishna and the other is not good. Otherwise, how can I explain? If material knowledge is sufficient, both of them working hard to find out the truth of a scientific discovery. But one is able to find out, another is not able, then how can I explain this discrepancy? The only explanation is that one is favored by Krishna and the other is not favored. Actually, it so happened, you know, this Marconi's invention of wireless telegraph. So, Marconi and many other scientists were working on this line. One of them was Sir Jagadish Chandra Bose. So, this was explained by Santa Krishna Nupos in the meeting I was involved at that time in Calcutta. They were discussing Maharani and Dr. Bose, Santa Krishna Nupos, about the waves and so actually Dr. Bose discovered this well. Maharani heard it from Bose and immediately published in the paper. And the British government gave him preference, then he became the inventor of this well. That actually came Dr. Bose. So that means you have favor. Krishna gave him intelligence. Now take this opportunity. Takes this theory explained by Dr. Bose and he published it. This is the explanation. One is working very hard, day and night, and the another is enjoying the result. What? That is, patitakyamanani, gunayitsarmanani, parmanitam, ahumkara. You may think that you are doing, but you are under the control of material nature. And material nature is controlled by the Supreme Person. Therefore, ultimately, you are controlled by the Supreme Person. But being spelled by the material nature is thinking that evam parani dhyanena prasthitam jite kumar karmu yuvani gunai rāpuni mannati. Asana gunai. So, we have contacted, we have infected some prakriti, some guna, some quality of material nature, we are acting in that way. At the present moment, material like me, we are all working under the spell of this material nature, guna. So, I have got this body, Indian body, I'm thinking, I'm Indian, my duty is like this, like that. One is born in America, he's thinking like that. One is born in dog family, he's thinking like that. One is born in cat family. In this way, different variety of body and different varieties of things. Different varieties of body is due to the body. So, karmasu kriyamane, we do have to actually, according to the body and according to the temperament, karmasu kriyamane to gunai, and that is spelled by this material nature. And I am identifying myself in that. I am this, I am that, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Christian, I am Brahman, I am American. So this is our conditional life. Upindai is speaking on the subject matter of Atma-darshan. So if we identify like that I am American, I am Indian, I am Brahman, I am Kshatri, or I am cat and dog, then we shall continue this life, this conditional life, by the material nature. It will continue. Forever means we cannot calculate how long we shall continue. It's not mitta actually. But because I do not know from whence it has begun, neither I know when it will end, then it is called mitta vadha. So we are nityavadha, eternally bound up by this law of material nature. And we are wandering throughout the universe according to karma. Uddham vachanti shatprastha. If we walk on the shatabho, the punai karmani, we vichitra. There are so many varieties. So we may go sometimes up to Brahma loka. That is not very difficult. But Abrahma Bhukana Loka Nuravati. Either you go to Brahma Loka, Pagar Loka, any Loka, this form and that body. You will have to go through this Four principles of material condition, birth, old age, and youth. That is not possible to overcome. That time you can overcome only Mama Eva Dr. Bhagavan Premaya. There was confusion that instead of serving under the scale of material, let us immediately transfer our position to become the original. Original means the eternal servant of Krishna.
Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivera Swarup Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. That is our constitutional position. We are eternal servants of God, Krishna. So if we take to it immediately, Krishna also says, Mameva ye prapadyante mayam etan tarantite. If we take to it immediately, the spell of Maya we can overcome if we immediately take the instructions of Krishna. That he says, you surrender unto me, and I shall give you all protection from the sinful reactions of your life. So, giving up the illusion that we are independent of Krishna, and giving up that illusion that we are the enjoyer, giving up the illusory identifications, and we retake our original natural consciousness of Krishna's servant. That's the ultimate message that Kapila Dev is going to bring us to. You have a question?
As we all go back to Godhead, will there still be people getting confused and getting caught into Maya and coming back down again? As people go back to him, so there'll be constant.
Once you're there, you're there.
But Maya will still be going on once.
There's no Maya there.
But not with you, but.
Oh yeah, Maya will be here.
Yeah, but not with you.
Not with the spiritual, not in the spiritual world. There's no Maya.
So it never ends, Maya. It will just continue on.
Maya continues in this realm, the realm of the material world, and there's always living entities in this material world. There won't be any time, just like in the prison. You can say, well, wouldn't it be nice if everyone was good and rectified themselves, then we wouldn't need the prison anymore. But actually speaking, that never happens. There's always been, in every society, there's always been prisons, and there always will be. That's the practical reality of it. So, is that what you were saying?
Yeah, that's more or less. But obviously we got lost and we came to this configuration of mile or whatever you were doing
to
into the energy. So if we go back, isn't there any chance we could still come back again?
Oh yeah, no.
Happen again?
No.
But how come we came here
anyway? Oh, that question. See, there's many ways to answer that question. But it's very hard to understand, really. Prabhupada explains.
I'm a fool.
No. It's a question that's just you have to be, one really, really can't fully understand the answer to that question. How did we do that anyway? But the way Prabhupada usually explains it is that we always have free will. And when there's free will, there is always the chance of making a choosing improperly. Sometimes he's explained it that we're still with Krishna, but due to this misuse of free will, it's more or less like we've taken a nap. And we're dreaming. We've gone to sleep for some time. And all we have to do is wake up and we'll be there. So in that sense, we've never left Krishna. But it's quite the nightmare. But because the origin of this, Prabhupada did say this, and he explains it in the Bhagavad Gita, that the origin of this is beyond time. Therefore, we who are very, very tiny, it's beyond our capacity to understand it because we're in the grip of time. So what Prabhupada would generally say is that it's not important how you got here. It's like somehow or another you're in the ocean and your boat is, and you know, you're stuck in the ocean, and maybe there's so many other people, you know, who've fallen off the boat, some boat, and they're in the ocean and drowning, and some rescue boat comes along. Each one of them has their own story maybe of how they got there. But the important thing is to get out. That's how Prabhupada usually explained it, and that's my own realization about it. There's a misuse of free will somewhere. That's the point that Prabhupada would usually push on this. There's a misuse of free will, and therefore the rectification of our choice, make that attempt and understand our powerlessness and take shelter of Krishna, is the solution and the cure. Perhaps the best I can do.
Okay. That's the past 8, so we'll stop.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kapila Muni ki jai. Staying in the material world forever ki.